God designed you and the way He cares for you, head to toe. And not because you come to this church. And not because you give money. And not because you're a good person. It's because of who He is. And He doesn't love you because of anything that you can give Him. He loves you because He created you in His image. He loves you more than anything you've ever loved. And yet, you are not the center of His attention. The center of His attention is Himself. Now, if we were to say that, that would be arrogance. But we're not God. Only God is God. And God does everything for His glory, and He does everything for His purposes, and He will complete everything that He has purposed to its end. Because He is God alone. And in this intricate world of flowers and leaves and clouds and earth and center and the air we breathe and the oceans and the billions of things that you don't even think of every day, He's in control of all of it. And He loves you so much that He sent His only Son. Now, He loves you, but He also loves others. If we were to somehow be able to hit a button and these walls would become invisible, you're not special, and so God chose you. You're special because you're in Him. And there are billions. I'm going to ask my factoid mathematician. How many people on the earth, Noah?
8 billion,
exactly. You got the exact number or not? Okay. So, He loves the other 8 billion people too. So much that He sent His Son. That whoever believes in Him would not perish but have eternal life. I said something about this morning in our prayer time. I want to repeat it, maybe flesh it out a little bit more. One thing that is destroying humanity's care and concern for each other right now, and it's evident here probably more than normal because it's an election year. No, I'm not going to talk about politics. But I don't think it's just the United States. I think this is going on all over the world. Is what a word I'm going to dub tribalism. tribalism is where everybody goes into their little pocket of belief and shuts the door on the rest and says, if you don't believe like this, you're no good. Now, before you think I've gone off the deep end, this is true. Beginning to the end, God's word is true. That's not for debate. This is not for compromise. Okay? If God says it, it doesn't matter if I believe it. It's true. But there are things outside of the Bible that we hold to sometimes as dearly held beliefs. And we hold on to those so strongly that it can appear, whether it's true or not, it can appear that we care more about those things than we care about this. And we can also get to the point where we go into our little huddles and with people that are like-minded with us, and there's nothing wrong with talking about somebody that agrees with you, that's okay. But we can get so entrapped into that circle that we forget that God loves us and God loves other people too. And but for the grace of God, we have nothing. We know nothing. We have nothing. So what I want to do this morning is take you just on a very brief tour of a few scriptures that speak of God's love, His concern, His care for people head to toe. Because if we're not in the business of loving people, we're not doing God's will. If we want to reflect our Heavenly Father and how much He cares for us in His character, we are transformed to be like Him. We, in turn, need to care about others. I'm not talking about doing something radical that is anything against God's Word. I'm talking about living out God's Word. And sometimes what that means, and I'm not pointing fingers at anybody here. Maybe you guys are doing on a scale of 1 to 100, maybe you're at a 99.5 already and you don't need my help. Okay? But I know I need this reminder. I know I need to be reminded that that sinner that I look at, whoever it is, that's me. I'm just like that. Maybe mine plays out different. Maybe mine looks a little different on the outside. But that's me without God. So I want to just show you a few things, remind you of a few things. So turn with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew. We'll start there. Matthew chapter 6. Our scripture memory verse for the month. But seek first the kingdom of God and in his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That is a great verse. What's the context for it? Let's look at that. Starts in verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? There you go. God's concern for the person is bigger than his concern for their locale here, right? It's a given that you're the church. You understand the church is important. We should be part of the church. We should be, but the church is not a building, right? We know that. God cares more about you than just checking the box that you're here. He cares that you eat, that you drink, that you got clothes to wear. And you all look good this morning. And he gave you those things. He cares about you. Can't add a single hour to your life about worrying about these things. Now, that doesn't mean you don't work. That's a whole nother sermon. But don't be anxious, he says. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. God takes care of his people. He loves them. He has a deep care and concern for you head to toe. So this talks about money, because you have, at least in our society, you've got to have money to buy food, clothing. He cares for you. He's going to provide for you. What about your health? Turn to Matthew chapter 12. This is a picture. He doesn't promise that every person would be healed like this, okay? But it's a picture of God's concern for people. Matthew 12:9. He went on from there and entered their synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand, and they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "Which one of you has a sheep? If it falls into a pit on a Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is a man than a sheep?" So, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand," and the man stretched it out, and it was restored healthy like the other. It's a picture for us of God's taking care of people's needs, because he cares head to toe. He didn't send Jesus. God did not, the Father did not just send Jesus here so you'd go to heaven. Ultimately, the concern isn't about your location, it's about your relationship. Your relationship with God doesn't start when you die and go to heaven. It starts when you meet him. And that must be here first. Right? We must encounter Jesus here before we get to heaven. We must be born again. We must begin a relationship with God. He's not just an afterthought that someday I'll start this relationship later. It's now. Of course, you always have opponents to this, and this is my fear for the church at large, and hopefully it's on your mind as well, and you pray about these things, and you try to be kind and speak to people kindly and help steer them the right way so they see this as well. But what happens after he heals this man? But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him how to destroy him. How dare you care about somebody? How awful. How wretched. What are you doing? Right? They were concerned about the law, of course, but not really. They were concerned about themselves and their power. If we get religious, that's what we care about, is a system and a place and the power of it rather than Christ, rather than people, rather than God's glory. So we see God cares about your finances, your food, your clothes. He cares about, here's a picture of Him caring about your health and also your livelihood, right? Here's what happens. Which one of you has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on a Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? You say, well, I don't have a sheep. Right? Anybody here a sheep farmer that I'm not aware of? Okay. So, a couple different pastors of mine that were more from the south have used this phrase. We don't really use it up north here as much. Going to get the donkey out of the ditch. So, here's what that means. When somebody says, you going to get the donkey out of the ditch, has nothing to do with the donkey, usually. Could. It could. But it's about helping your brother whose livelihood is in trouble. Because that donkey plowed his fields. That donkey carried his cart. That donkey was a means of his livelihood. Right? Where does that come from? Let me show you. It comes from the Old Testament. It comes from Deuteronomy here, chapter 22. It's also in Exodus, but let's look at the Deuteronomy account. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 1. You shall not see your brother's ox or his sheep going astray and ignore them. You shall take them back to your brother. Now you say, well, that's fine. It's your brother. You should help your brother, right? But hold on. And if he does not live near to you, and if you do not know who he is, you shall bring it home to your house, and it shall stay with you until your brother seeks it. Okay, so it's not talking about your physical brother here. Because obviously, if it was your physical brother, you'd know who that was. Right? So now, what does that mean? First of all, it means that you have to care for this animal. You have to provide bedding for it. You have to provide food for it. You have to make sure it has water. Shelter. So you're caring for somebody else by caring for their livelihood. Then you shall restore it to him, and you shall do the same with his donkey, or with his garment, or with any lost thing of your brother's which he loses and you find. You may not ignore it. You shall not see your brother's donkey or his ox fallen down by the way and ignore them. You shall help him to lift them up again. God loves people from head to toe. Not because of what they offer, not because of where they live, not because of their bloodline. He cares for them, and not just for their destiny in heaven, but He cares for them here. Does He care that they are fed, that they have clothes, that they have shelter, that they have a means to provide for themselves? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Now here's what happens. Let's be honest. Okay? Let's really be honest with each other here. Be honest with God. Have you ever seen a situation where you're able to help? Sometimes you're not. and you went, I don't care. That person doesn't mean anything to me. Or that person hurt me in the past. Or that person doesn't believe what I believe, so therefore, I'm not going to help them. Jesus says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. It's hard. It's hard, but if we're going to make an impact on this world, it is no longer going to be like it was in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, maybe, where we just build a building and people will come. If we're going to do it right, we're not going to build it on programs. We're not going to build it on flash, on hype, on good feelings. God's kingdom is not built that way. Now, you can build some things for man that way. It's called marketing. But the way that God's kingdom is built is in truth, and it's in love. And you cannot separate the two. Nobody will hear the gospel when they're so hungry they can't think. Nobody will hear the gospel when they're feel so unsafe that they have no place to go. Jesus loves you and has a great plan for your life means nothing if you don't care about somebody. But the good news is this: God loves you from head to toe, and he loves other people like that too. And his plan to help love those people is you. It's you. You are the body of Jesus. You are the bride of Jesus. You are an extension of the kingdom of God. If you have embraced Christ's love and believe him. Now, what about other things? Because people need food, they need clothing, they need health, they need a livelihood. But what about other things? Let's look at Psalm chapter 9. Verse 9. The Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed. A stronghold in times of trouble. It's better than 911. Verse 12. For he who avenges blood is mindful of them. He does not forget the cry of the afflicted. Verse 18. For the needy shall not always be forgotten, and the hope of the poor shall not perish forever. So does God care about your food and your clothing and your livelihood and your health? Yes, but he cares about your heart. He's a stronghold for the oppressed in times of trouble. He cares about the afflicted. He cares about the needy. And if you're honest before God, you need Him. You need Him. I've shared this story before, but years ago I did some door knocking evangelism, was just going door to door and asking people, can I pray for you? And we went in a lower middle class neighborhood and asked people, and people were like, yeah, please pray for my grandma, she's in the hospital, pray for me, I need a job, pray for this, pray for that. And we would pray with them. And then we went to a wealthier neighborhood with really nice homes, and went door to door there. And with one exception, I'll get to that in a second, with one exception, people said, no, I don't need any prayer. And in fact, I had several people, at least three, say these exact words to me on the same day, so they wouldn't have talked to each other. They said, I have no needs. The one exception that I had was this person said, oh, I'm already a Christian, and it doesn't make any sense why you're in this neighborhood. Because somehow wealth equals righteousness, or poverty equals need. No, everybody has needs. Everybody has needs. But the more stuff we have, the less we sometimes see we need Him. We laugh at t-shirts that say stuff like, money can't buy you happiness, but it can buy you tacos, and tacos make you happy. I laugh at that too. But sometimes we do forget we need God. He is the defender of the helpless, of the oppressed, of the afflicted. He loves the unborn. He loves little ones. And He loves people to the grave. God loves people from head to toe. Turn back to Matthew chapter 12. Like I said, we're not going to look at this in any kind of exhaustion today. We're just looking at a few things. This is a quote from Isaiah chapter 42. Let me read for you, beginning in verse 18 of 12, chapter 12. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. If you have a broken heart over a relationship, you're grieving over hurt, you are distraught, you're devitalized in your life, you're depressed, you are a bruised reed. And what's that? Nothing. A reed, what's it worth? It's worth nothing. We see I did some tree pruning yesterday, and there was a few that were kind of already dead and hanging there. I'm like, well, that one doesn't matter. Cut it off and throw it away, get rid of it. Well, God cares for that bruised reed and brings it back to health. He is not done with you. He is not going to break you off. He loves you from head to toe. He cares more about you than you care about anything. That smoldering wick, that fire, that passion, that zest for life, that enthusiasm that you may have had, the hope of something that's been dashed, that's gone, that wick that's smoldering. Sometimes that's a person. And what's our instinct? Put it out. Thank God he doesn't do that with us. He wants to fan you. Not so that you would flicker, but that you would give light. Reflect his light. God cares for you from head to toe. Now here's the rub. This is the rub. This is where it's really hard. Two ways this is really hard. One way is this. You say, I agree, Pastor. That's what the Bible says. You're right. And that applies to everybody. Except myself, because I'm too far gone. I'm too broken. That smolder is so small, it's never going to come back. God doesn't care about me. If you feel that way, rebuke yourself. Gently. Because God can restore you. That's what he does. He's in the restoration business. He's in the love business. He's in the health business. He's the great physician. And there is nobody that's too far gone. As long as you have breath, you're not too far gone. He is able to forgive the most wicked of sinners. And he's able to help and love the most desperate of people. So sometimes there's the rub. We can say it applies to everybody but me. You don't have to raise your hand, but answer in your head. Have you been there for at least a second? You thought that? Number two. This also can be where the rub is. This does apply to me, but not to them. Not, I mean, to most people, yeah. But not to them. I mean, them? You all have a different them in your head right now. I got my them. How arrogant. Who do I think I am? Who do I think I am to believe that I'm less of a sinner, that I'm more righteous, that I'm more forgivable, that I'm better than the them? And we can put them, we can put people in categories of the them for a lot of different reasons. But they're wrong. Because you're not God and you don't know. You don't know. You don't know what he can do. You don't know what he will do. Does that person still have breath? They can have life. In his name. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to be going through the book of 2 Corinthians this year during our Bible study on Wednesday nights. I think the first one starts on September the 18th, if that's a Wednesday. It's listen to verse 16 of chapter 5. Really hear it. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. From now on, therefore, we regard only those that we don't like according to the... No. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is a Christ, he's a new creation. The first church workers were largely Jewish. Gentiles were repulsive. I mean, you know, we eat bratwurst. We don't follow all these rules and these laws, and we were looked at as detestable. We as Gentiles versus the Jews. And when Christ said, no, salvation's for everybody. For everybody. Oh, the bratwurst eaters too? Yeah, them too. You know, and so whatever you have in your mind, the them, and I know you got one. I know there's somebody, some group, or some person that you go, that person can't, you know what? Then you can't either. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. God loves you from head to toe, and he's able to love other people from head to toe, just like that. That guy or gal or people group that you think is disgusting, the people that look different than you, that think different than from you, that smell different from you, that do things that are wrong. Some of them are wrong. They're sinful. Some of those things that you might be thinking, yeah, they're wrong. And you are a lawbreaker too. If we're trying to deceive ourselves, if we're trying to build the church on nice people that think and look just like us, we're not doing what Jesus would have done. We're not loving like Jesus loved you. It's easy. It's easy to love people that are like you. That's not love. That's called, I'm going to be around a buddy who can build me up. To love somebody is to sacrifice, to give beyond yourself, to take on a burden. So how does God love? He loves from head to toe. He loves the whole person. Now, I'm not a universalist. The Bible doesn't teach that. That doesn't mean that everybody's just accepted as they are without faith. It's not what that means. But that's what's needed. You don't clean up and then come to Christ. You come to Christ and He cleanses you from the inside out. Otherwise, Jesus would have called you a whitewashed tomb. Going back to Psalm chapter 9 to wrap up here, in verse 10, it says this, "And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." That is not have anything to do with a matter of what tribe somebody's part of. In fact, Jesus came for every tongue and tribe and nation. It has nothing to do with somebody's outward appearance or their opinions on certain things or their goodness. Now, I'm a firm believer that if somebody is a firm believer in Jesus, that they will think different. They will come around. They will let down and let go of the things from their worldly past that are sinful. Some of those things, they happen immediately. When somebody gets saved, they just like, I'm not doing that anymore. And then some of those things take a while because they don't even see it. You don't really smell yourself, right? Sometimes it takes a while. "And those who know your name put their trust in you, for you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." My goal this morning was to talk about God's love and help us to see that bigger picture of it. It's not just about the labels we wear and where we sit. He loves you head to toe here and in the dark at 3 o'clock in the morning somewhere. He loves you when you can't give anything. He loves you when bad things happen to you. In fact, sometimes He directs those things that we call bad in order to teach us something, in order to discipline us. Other times He allows it. But it's never a surprise to Him. And those outside these walls, they need to know that. We don't compromise on the truth. His word doesn't change. Jesus doesn't change. But sometimes, more than sometimes, we need to have a correction and change to be more like Him. Love the way He loves. We say that really fast, really easy, right? I want to be like Jesus. You know, it's been a long time now, but people used to wear those bracelets. I know, you know, the WWJD. And we say, you know, I'm all about God in my life, and that's good. But let's make sure we really are. Sometimes we got to help get the donkey out of the ditch. Sometimes we need to hold somebody's hand and tell them that we care. And all you're doing when you do that is you're reflecting God's care for you. God loves you from head to toe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us from head to toe, more than we can ask or imagine, more we can see, more than we even understand, more than we'll ever understand this side of heaven. And you loved us so much that you sent your only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross and to bear the wrath that we deserved. We absolutely don't deserve your grace. We absolutely did deserve hell. And you gave us life. Life to all who believe in your name. Help us to not regard people according to the flesh, but believe that you're going to work through the Holy Spirit to transform people. We ask for your mercy in this. We pray for your work. We ask that as we encounter sinners that may look different than us as sinners, that we love them. Without compromise. We ask for you to work in our hearts and our minds through your word in Jesus. Amen.